Well, like you say in the clubhouse, I mean, it's funny to me, doing might not be funny, you know, I was talking to the player. Usually I say, better get a haircut or something, got long hair. And the guy that runs this thing, you know, the minor league coordinator. You know, I told you yesterday about I'll say something, and he said, you can't get on this guy no more. Everyone getting on is just having fun, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And like I say, that's 90% of the time. I always get along with these guys because it's a sport to me. It might be a business to the guy that runs the club. But in here, when you got 180, you may have two guys or three guys going to AAA, you know. Most of them AA or A club, and so I don't like to treat this like comical. And like I say, I like to treat these guys so when their kids grow up, they can be disciplined the same way I would discipline these. Not bad, but you know, sure. Just, I don't want this place to run like a concentration camp where if you don't do this, they're going to shoot you or something like that. So,
yeah.
You know, they know that only so many guys go in. So I like to make them feel like at home. Even though I get on them, it doesn't mean I really get on them. It's just something that loosens them up or something like that.
Sure. Makes sense. You know, when you brought up the business and the sport, have you seen baseball change from a sport to a business over the years?
Yeah.
Or does it not? In the minor leagues, does it not so much?
In the minor leagues, they don't because their money's, you know, they don't make big money. I mean, what's considered to the public, like what you'd be doing, if you went to McDonald's or Burger King, you say, oh, that guy's only making $5,000 for 5 months, that's $1,000 a month. And they say, oh, gee, man, hey, we don't make that much at McDonald's. Say, well, that's a different. This is supposed to be, and it's a sport. But the money they give you, it's good money for us because everybody's got their own home. But when you go from one town to another, you got to pay, in the 50s and 60s, even the 70s, rent was maybe, if you can get a nice apartment for $300 a month. But right now, the $300 a month is $3,000 a month. You know, when I went to Minnesota, I was wound up paying, $2,000 a month. And that's only 15 years ago. I mean, it's a long time, but I wouldn't know. I mean, you know, your salary goes up a little bit, but when your salary goes up, your rent goes up too. In other words, you're not gaining anything.
Yeah, your expenses are going up all the time. And
I know it should be politics, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know.
You know, you can read in the papers nowadays that they say the minor league players are all underpaid and, you know, they sometimes struggle to eat decently.
Yeah, that's truth. I mean, even when I was in Orlando from 1988 to 78 to 88, because we left Melbourne. But when we lived in Orlando, some of them guys had to, if they got families, get a two-bedroom where both couples can share it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, some of them guys, the most they made in the 80s was $600 a month. They had to up it, not because of the players are going bad or good. It's you got to pay them enough to eat and pay the rent. In Orlando, towards the end, the $400 a month that we could get in is like $700 a month, and you was only making $800 a month. So that only gives you $100 to eat on.
Yeah.
You know, a phone or something like that.
Yeah, that's hard. And, you know, the funny thing about it really is that, you know, those young guys, you know, they're not making the money, so they're eating at fast food places and, you know, kind of more junk food versus getting good meals in.
And like I say, I've been in the organization. In some years, somebody said, how much did you make when you first started, Mr. Griffin? And I'm not exaggerating. If it was $350 a month, I might be a little high. But even $350 a month, I said, I was staying in a rooming house and it was charging me like $175 a month, which it sounds reasonable, but not when you only made $350 Uncle Sam gets some of that money. Yep. Not that he don't get that much, but you know what I mean.
For sure.
And the object is, it's like being in Melbourne. Nobody wants to stay in Melbourne. Not because you ain't in AAA or AA, except A-ball. It was a piece of junk, and I wouldn't mind saying it. It was a piece of junk, and you know, Calvin didn't know nothing about it because he never came over, except he might come over once a year, and I'd be in the wintertime and stop in and see how we're doing. But even Sherry Roberts, I don't know if you knew Sherry, you might have heard the name.
I didn't know him. Calvin's, I heard the name, like you said.
Calvin's half brother, whatever it is. He never came in the club. To this day, even though it's gone, he wouldn't know where that clubhouse is. I mean, he'd get out of the car, walk straight to the field, and would say, "Hey, Sherry, you want to come in?" He just, "Oh, I'll see you after the game." He left. When it's time to go fishing or golfing, he leaves. It might be the second inning and the third inning, just take off. It was a rat trap. I mean, it was so bad the rats didn't want to come in.
Yeah, it's. I don't think I've ever seen any pictures of it.
I wish you had. I wish. You couldn't describe it. You tried to describe it. You honestly couldn't describe it, how big it was. Like I say, Dick Such, who was our pitching coach, he was with Cincinnati or something when they used to be in, what's the name of that town over there? Plant City, I had to think right now. There's so many small towns that become big towns. But, you tell them how big, they still don't believe it. Every time I come up with, "Well, we had this, we had that, oh, y'all had this, y'all had that," I said, "I can't describe how bad it is. You can have pictures of it, and they still wouldn't believe it." And yeah, that's what gets me. I mean, that's why I make jokes of it, because it's things like that. And then, like I said, I wasn't only the trainer, the equipment manager, clubhouse guy, whatever you want to call it. Is we had to do everything. So I had to, somebody say, "Oh, they ran out of beer in the icebox." Well, how can I be in a clubhouse on the field / and put the beer in the icebox, you know, for them after the game? I mean, Brophy thought I was six men building the one.
Trying to get his money's worth, getting you to do all the different jobs and only pay one guy.
Well, like I said, you knew, heard of Ray, not Ray, what's
Ray Crump?
Ray Crump.
Yeah.
He came over to drop something off, some shoes or something. And I said, "We're shorthanded." And the other guys, and Ray Crump said, we lost a guy today too. We're down to six. Six? How many you got? You're looking at it. This is it. And he says, I told him I had to go to doctors, I had a gallbladder, and I didn't know it. I mean, something about 3 years later. And Rance, our farm director, after Mr. Buffy, he said, "You look bad." I said, "Yeah, you're looking at it this way. I'm looking at it that way. I only slept 1 hour the whole spring training. You know, you go to bed, and 10 minutes you're up, walking around." I was in pain. And I was... Ray said, "Why didn't you go to the doctor?" I said, "I can't go to the doctor. Not can't or won't. I'm the only guy that's got a key for this building. And you got spring training, 180 guys. It ain't like a regular season with 25 guys. Somebody could have hinged the door down or something. But when you got 100 guys, 180 guys, you had to come. It ain't like I got a helper. I had a trainer, but he was half drunk. So I didn't know that."
Yeah, nowadays, you know, the major league teams have a whole lot of coaches.
Oh, yeah, when I talk to them about equipment, you know, the clubhouse boys or whatever you want to call it, in the clubhouse, and they'll say, "How many?" "Oh," they'll say, "Oh, six or seven, maybe eight. How many you got?" they don't believe it. I told Dave, the one we got now, and everybody kept saying, "Oh, this is different. This is 2017 or 16. And this goes back to 1976, that's what, 40 years ago? And every time I hear somebody talking, not in the clubhouse, but front office or somebody works upstairs, you know, downstairs mm-hmm. with the guards, I say, "Wayne, it's going to change." "What do you mean it's going to change?" "Well, this is 2017. I said, "I don't care if it was 1942. It ain't going, once it's set in stone, If Wayne can do it by himself, how come this guy can't do it by himself? Oh, how come the third person can't do that by himself? They went through three of them since I retired. And I said, here's what they tell me. Like I said, Wayne can do it. How come you can't do it? You got two hands and two arms like Wayne's got, two eyes. I said, yeah, but I'm 30 years older than these guys too. And it's just, when I keep hearing, we ain't got the money, we can't do this, we can't do that. But when you got 10 or 12 guys looking at the computer, which I don't give a damn. I mean, I do. But these computers can't pitch the thing. They show you what you can do, like pitch the ball down the pipe or hit a home run, and this guy's hitting 10, 15 home runs in 1 week. That don't mean we can do it. And you ask, how do they swing? Like I told Rod Crew a couple years ago, when he first joined us, and I say, Rod, what do you need? What are you looking for? Nothing, I'm just going to grab a bat. I said, aren't you going to look and see what it is? No. A good hitter can hit with any kind of a bat, you know, broom hitter or broomstick or something. I just come here to grab a bat. And I tell these guys now, you know, before I retire, what are you looking for? I'm looking for a C-47 or an S-2. Jesus Christ, the season's built for the time you figure out what it is. I said, I told you, Rod Carew, I think he was a pretty good hitter, don't you think? Oh, yeah. I said, he went up there with a broomstick and got 3 for 4, and you weren't about getting one hit.
Yeah, Rod Carew was a hitter.
Yeah, that's, every time I see him, I mean, there's a guy that I had since opening day in 65, and there's a few things I missed. I don't like blood, and I don't like this and that. And he'll come in, Wayne, you still afraid of blood, or you don't like this? You tell these guys how harsh it is? I said, right, well, that's what you are. If they're bad, tell them like it is.
Yeah, I was just reading something on the internet about I was doing some research on you, and it said in one article that you didn't like the sight of blood very much. And I can't remember, they were quoting the incident that happened and that you went out there to see him and he ended up passing out.
I tell you what that story was. I think they made a mistake, but they do, what do you call it?
Yeah.
The guys overdoes that, you know, they mean well. It's probably true, but, you know, I didn't die on blood. But it was Captain Midnight. He had an act where he would do something, he gets to second base to get him out of the act, he would blow himself up. And, you know, he comes popping out and stuff like that.
Of the cannon and
yeah,
whatnot.
And I'm not saying he didn't have blood, but, you know, that's the story was, you know, the players. Yeah. All the players I knew in the 87 team, you know, when it was going on, that knew me in the 80s or late 70s, seen this act, and the first thing they would say is, he was scared of blood, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had to make the story a little bit.
Yeah, make it interesting.
Yeah,
make it more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I sure.
And have you ever heard of Jimmy Pearsall?
Jimmy Pearsall? Yeah.
He used to do the act with the computer, with the... the car he was driving, what do they call him? A tank, not a tanker. Oh, shoot. What do they call him now? It was a car, but that car had a top. Anyway, he drove the car, and somebody was shooting baseballs to the right field fence. He'd try to catch him in that Jeep. That's what I'm trying to think, the Jeep. So he jumped out and left me, and I was only about 15 years old. I didn't know nothing about against a brick wall. I said, oh my God, oh, hey, Jimmy, help me out. He's already jumped out. He forget about me. But that was, and guys like Max Patkin, you ever caught his act?
No, I heard about
see,
it. But...
See, that's what I'm saying. I like to get this. When I ask these guys about Max Patkin or Jimmy Pearsall or, what the hell, the other guy's name, old man, Price. Price was the last name. I can't think of his first name. One of them clowns. And
oh,
I can't think of his name.
I can't remember.
I remember the name Price. I can remember that. But Al Price. No, Billy Price. See. No, I can remember the last name Price. He had a trick where he hangs up on this rope and hits the bat, you know. He hits him when he's backwards. Who can you hit if we hit him regular way? So he had to act like that, and he's, I remember them guys. These guys really know who I'm talking about. Max Packin, I knew this other guy, Jackie Price. That's his name, Jackie Price.
Oh, okay.
He might have heard the name. You know, sometimes he was in the big leagues as a player, but then when you can't play, you have some kind of gimmick to make some money somewhere. Yeah. Like Max Packin, he would do an act where he was actually coaching. I mean, you're playing a real game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't put a clown to coach third base, but we knew his credentials by being a real player, a coach at one time, you know, something like that. In other words, he ain't going to run you out of a play, you know, if it's a close game.
Yeah.
I mean, he told every manager I had, he always tells his manager, I know you've seen my act when you played, and I ain't going to screw you up. In other words, you're in this game to play the game, you know, real, not just some clown just running around the bases.
Yep.
I ain't going to send a guy from first to third when I knew he can't make it there. You know, just because my act is going good, I don't care about that. But he was the funniest guy I ever met. Like, he was in my way, and I changed clothes 3 different times. I went from street clothes to trainer's clothes. I was a trainer in Charlotte. Back to real clothes. You can't do that, and you can't do this, you can't do that. I said, gee, man, Eddie. But it's so funny. But I love Max Packin. I hated him when everybody passed away, but when I heard he passed away, I just kind of broke my heart. We grew up together. Well, when I was 13 years old, I first met him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was doing act ever since 1951 or 52.
Wow.
And I was 13, second year I was there, like 53. And, so I when I hear he's coming to town, I say, hey, that's my buddy coming to town.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, he was, there's a lot of stories that you can find about him and his act,
Yeah, that's what I say. All this stuff, like I say, I wish you'd have seen his act. I wish some of these guys, I mean, he would do things you wouldn't think of. Like, powder himself, like women's powder and liquid.
Yeah.
He'd get 5 bats and he'd play like he's going to fall down and the bats come falling out. Then he'd reach down and get a certain bat to hit with. He'd go, yeah, I can hit with this bat. It was just fun to watch. That's what I miss about baseball. We got no clowns. Well, if you consider how we play, that's just as bad as being a clown.
Sometimes you think that's well, for sure.
Some of them, when they get released, they should get an act like him. I could show his routine right now, and they can make some money.
And, you know, baseball always needs stuff like that.
But
there isn't any real characters in baseball anymore.
Yeah, that's what I say. There's too much. I mean, everybody wants to make a buck. But if you got a half a decent team, you don't need all these guys going around computers and say, here's how you pitch this guy. Them days over with. We never have, or from in the 40s, not when I was around, but from 52 to at least 92, that's 40 years.
Yeah.
I'm not losing it, but sometimes I might be more, might be less. We had one meet in the game, or one meet in a series, you know, how you pitch it. We go over it about 10 minutes and that's over. Now they come in here and they go out there and then they hit in the cage. We never hit in the cage. We didn't know what a hitting cage was in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Really? So those are fairly modern.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What I mean is, we always figure you hit. We have a batting cage out there like 4:30. You don't come out at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You're dead by the time we didn't feed them ball players like they do now. Gee, my daddy. And they shower. I said, don't y'all shower at home? They shower. They go in, eat. Next thing you see them taking a shower. I said, what happened? Well, I spilled some ketchup or something on my pants. I said, gee, what you call it, kids? A bab?
A bib?
Bib, that's what I'm trying to say. But like you say, I'm glad you came around. You know, you was talking about modern Minnesota. I mean, it's good that you're doing something. But right now, I wouldn't know, unless you have a computer, you would have, and I'm not doing this computer, I'm going through actually in the clubhouse. You know
right.
what I mean? There's, I could look in the computers, but it's not much fun. You're talking to a real person that went through this and done this. I mean, like yeah. you say, you can read the other seven computers.
Yeah.
But half the stuff I tell you, you look in a computer, well, we can't do this. You might say hell, or you might say damn. And I ain't try to. Sometimes it comes out, but
yeah.
but you can't help it. When you live through this and see this and done this, you'll say, wait, you're telling me a lie, or you're telling me a story. And I said, and then you say, when he was in Memphis, he got lost going to the hotel. Well, maybe I did, but you only go that three times a year. You know, you
yeah.
you look, you can see it, but with all these streets going
yeah.
one way,
yeah.
and like one time, like I said, I went to Memphis. I followed my directions this way and that way, and I didn't know the next cutoff was you're going into Arkansas. So we had to bypass and go this way, but it was more fun, even though I knew where the hotel was. It's just the idea of getting over there, you know.
Yeah. And yeah, that happens to everybody.
Yeah, we went to Savannah one time. We left the hotel at 5 o'clock. You never, once you leave the ballpark in a hotel, that's when we leave. We don't go at 2 o'clock just to take extra hit. We don't. Those are the good old days. When you go down the street, we figured we was going down the wrong way street in Savannah, because the cars was coming this way,
uh-huh.
and I was going that way. I didn't drive the bus. I said, Jack, you know we're on the wrong one way street. Yeah. But we only going one way. So we all laugh and stuff like that.
That's for sure. Let me.
It means funny. Like when I was with Gardenhauer in Orlando. And I don't like exhibition games. Not exhibition, what do you call it? Extra inning games.
Oh, okay.
So we had one run lead in Orlando. And he told this pitcher, one of my, I can't think of his name, Williams, but he's a right-handed pitcher. And every time he goes in, he gives up a tying run or a winning run or whatever it is. He never gets us out of the ninth inning. So, man on second base, one out. So he brings in this other pitcher. I said, don't bring this guy in. It's going to go extra. Please don't bring it in. Please don't. Got to. Mr. Griffith's son is here and he wants to see him. I said, please. He's guarded, don't bring him in. Okay, so he walks out to the mound, takes the ball out, brings him in. He don't even get to home plate. I mean, the dugout. Bang, base hit. Game's tied. I said, guardy, I told you, then I got a little bit more cursing in. So I said, look over here. I said, well, what do you mean? Look over here. It was a girl bat boy, girl. Well, she's only like 13. You're cursing and doing this, and it ain't hell or high water. It's a little bit more than that. I said, I'm sorry, big girl. And I'm always had that same when there's a lady, I just said, big girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just so funny. And the funny thing was going to Huntsville, Alabama, and this one guy, he was a relief pitcher, but he was supposed to be smart or. He's not smart, he's just fucking dumb. And we check in the hotel in Huntsville about 10 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's room is ready, except the manager. And this one stupid pitcher came by, you know, got his keys, sees Gordy sitting there. What's wrong, Gordy? He says, my room ain't ready. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, he says, hang with him. Oh, Gordy said, what'd you say? Hang with him. Okay. Are you pitching tonight? I might be in relief. Okay, we'll see. Okay, game didn't get a hand, but they bring pitchers in eighth inning, ninth inning, seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
He was behind by one run. Boom, he gave up a tying run. It went 10th inning, 11th inning. And he looks in the dugout, looking at Gordy. Now, Gordy said, was, hang with him! He got beat. And when he got beat, it was a doubleheader. So he goes in the clubhouse. We had a spread, you know, lunch meat. So he's just walking around. I don't pay no attention. I just kind of looking. And Mark Funderburk, he's a big big black guy we had as a player, then became a coach. Or maybe you're still playing. He came in and told Gordy, he said, I think that pitcher that you don't like is going to dump over the spread. And so, you know, I was walking around, not saying a word, just making sure everything's okay. Gordy came in and I didn't know what the guy was behind me. I don't know. I never paid no. I always keep my head down, just kind of keep an eye. And Gordy, are you okay, Big? Not me. Turned to the pitcher. Are you okay? Are you going to do something bad? Oh, no, I'm just walking out. Said, that's good, because if you'd hurt Big Fella, I'd have knocked you on your fucking ass. I'm just waiting for you to do something where I have an excuse to, you know, hit him, not that I would hit, you know, hurt him. But, you know, you don't destroy, you don't tear up other people's food. You know, it's them to eat, not you by yourself. If you don't eat, I don't give a damn if you eat or not.
Yep.
But you only pitch 2 innings, you shouldn't be hungry anyway. But you destroy other people's food or stuff.
Yeah. Yep, there's only so much food out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Ain't really.
But how'd I do?
You're doing good. You're doing good.
I'm just trying to look for the questions. You know, sometimes I don't know if you knew Pat Rossi. You know Pat?
Rossi?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I didn't know until one of the guys, I forgot who it was, somebody told me he goes every day to record something. You know, instead of writing a book, he records something like that. I said, I'm waiting to not die, but telling you the story, like you say, I'm writing the stories of the whole, from the day, oh, I mean, 96 or whatever it was. I couldn't do it in 94 or 3. I was with the organization, but I was in Melbourne or somewhere. I don't know what I was doing. I was still, in fact, when somebody said 1996. I keep thinking 20. Now it's 1963, right? When I joined the club, I know what it is. But I joined them in the summer of 19. I don't count that year. That year I was in AAA. I didn't know, but just what I had. I heard of people on the 62 or 61, you know, like Shorty Price and some of them guys. I knew, you know, I got to meet them later on them. But when you only win the pennant, well. After 65, it wasn't another one until when? 75 or 92?
Well, 65, they went to the World Series, and then they went in the playoffs in 69 and 70.
Yeah.
And then,
well, I've had them one way or the other, you know.
Yeah.
And probably the 69 or 70 was most of the remaining of the 65, right?
Yeah, and they were really good teams. They just ran up against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. That's like us when the Yankees, somebody said, well, we got to play New York for that one game series. I said, it's going to be over. Why go? Why are we going? Why are we wasting time going
save
to New
the
York?
Money.
Yeah, save the money. I mean, some teams, like people say, you don't have no faith in these. I know it's only one game, but I live in reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't beat them in 19 or 20 games, but two or three times, it ain't that we can't beat them. You just blocked in, you know, maybe you can't concentration, you know.
You wonder why they have such bad luck against
them. There's always one club, like the Dodgers would say, the rest of the National League, they'd say, oh, we got to play Dodgers, as if to say, well, it's all over now. Not that the Dodgers couldn't win, but in the, it ain't this Dodger now, or this is ain't the 87 Twins, right?
Yeah.
They don't understand, when we get in the playoffs, playing somebody who's better than us, like Cleveland, or even Houston, who beat us, what, 4 games? Like, it wasn't even a good game. 11-1, 12-0. I mean, why show up? We've been better off of getting rained out. But you know what I mean is, you mentioned the Los Angeles Dodgers. We think the Los Angeles Dodgers is the Brooklyn Dodgers, even though it's the, but all you're doing is changing from one town to California town. And if you go back with the Twins and Washington Senators, we didn't have a lot of faith in the Washington Senators, right?
No, they didn't have very good teams.
So in other words,
I think they only went to the World Series maybe once or twice, 24, 25, or something like that.
Oh, you mean 1924? Oh, I thought you meant 2004. I met Chuck Stobbs. You ever knew a pitcher by the name of Chuck Stobbs?
I've only heard of him. Yeah. I never saw him pitch. No, he gave up that, known for giving up that long home run to Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
Supposedly the longest home run ever hit.
Yeah, check us out. That's what I used to tell Gibson and them other guys. I said, at least you didn't give up any cheap home runs. But going back to I met Chuck Stobbs. I'm not that old. And I said, Chuck, did you really go 0-17 or 18? Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. Did you catch a club I was with? I said, gee, man, I thought you win at least one game. Just like they keep bringing it up. And this guy's he works in a state penitentiary. He works there. I think his record was, I still think he's got the record. Modern time, well, this is 1960-something. I had him in Charlotte. I can't think of his name right now. His record 0-17. They was talking about him the other day, about having during the playoffs. But he's only pitching a long time, hadn't won a game. And I said, oh yeah, I remember. I can't remember his name.
Is it Terry Felton?
That's it. See, you got a better memory than me. When they mentioned Terry Felton, I said, yeah, I know him. And he's from Louisiana. I knew him a long time ago. But when they mentioned 0-17, 18, and they said, oh yeah, pitch with the Twins, Terry Felton. I said, as soon as that name mentioned, I had him in the minor leagues.
Yeah, I'd like to catch up with him sometime and talk to him and do an interview with him too. That'd be interesting.
Yep. I tell you, he's still something in the penitentiary, not in New Orleans. Damn. Wait a minute. When I call up Minnesota once they get all these stupid meetings out of the way, I'll ask Terry Ryan, because had to be in that era in 71. We signed him. He's pretty good memory. If he was signed as a pitcher, mm-hmm. Terry was in 70, so he might can go back and know how we can get in touch with Terry. I'd like to get in touch, even though he lives in Louisiana, is at a jailhouse. I guess I don't know why. I guess that's the only thing he could do without being 0-17 is work for Penn. He's working for working for people that ain't no better than we are.
Do you remember a pitcher by the name of Adam Johnson? He was a first round draft choice of the Twins, but never
about
really.
10 years ago, wasn't it? It might be longer, but I knew he was in Fort Myers.
Yeah, I think he's a fireman now in.
Well, he couldn't put nothing out.
Somewhere in Florida.
When he pitched here, he couldn't pitch. He didn't get hit. No, I knew he had not trouble, but, you know, after 2 or 3 years, they let him go.
Yeah, I think right about the time, you know, the Twins had, or Ron Gardenhire was his manager, and they brought him up, and then they decided to send him down to the minor leagues, or cut him in spring training, and said he was going down the minors, and he got all upset about it. And
seemed like I ran into him.
Tore up his papers.
Years. Yeah, seemed like I don't know. I asked somebody after he left off his motorcycle. I said, "Who is that?" Somebody said, "Is Adam Johnson." I mean, if he could have came up to me and said, "You know, you remember me?" Not until he might say Adam Johnson, but. You know, I remember the name and face, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Terry, I never would have thought he would be 0-17 because he was a good enough pitcher to win at least one game. But it didn't happen that way.
Did you, Billy Bean, who's the GM in Oakland.
Oakland, I guess he's still there unless they let
him. He's still out there. Yeah. I think he's moved on to a different job. But do you remember him when he was with Minnesota?
I never had him in the minors, but I knew in the big leagues. I mean, I don't know too much other than even when I was out in Minnesota, you know, Oakland a couple of years ago. Hi, Wayne, how you doing? Then I said, how you doing, Billy? I'm hanging in. He invented that. Well, I know why he invented it, because of Calvin, because we were cheap too, and he invented that Billy Bob, whatever we call that. And I started telling him, where did he get the idea from, Calvin? Because Calvin wasn't too good with the money.
Really?
Well, I mean, he wasn't cheap. He ain't like Steinbrenner and the Dodgers where all got, everybody's got money. Kevin didn't have no other job. He didn't own a Dairy Queen ice cream shop or nothing like that. I mean, even Clark, he'd say, hey, Dad, why can't we do this? How come we can't do that? You know, free agent guys. I said, son, you know, we don't have no bank to go into unless we rob one, but we ain't getting down that stuff. They went 2 or 3 years not talking to each other because of that, you know.
Well, he's a lawyer in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
now.
But he might be a lawyer. I wouldn't want him as, if I had a murder trial, I wouldn't want him to
He wouldn't want him to be your attorney?
Yeah.
Now, he had his own legal problems, I think, too.
Yeah, well, one thing, too, he wanted to buy the twins. Where in the hell was he going to get money to buy the twins? If his dad had to sell it, what do you think? And Calvin knew more about baseball than any of them owners do right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know what I mean. But
he was probably the last of the so-called baseball dinosaurs.
Yeah. That's true. That's what gets me is I don't know if these owners figure out what's going on. But they just keep pouring money out. They don't care. Just keep pouring it out like it's water.
Yeah.
I interrupt you for 20 minutes or 30 minutes.
No problem at all. What, yesterday after I left here, I was on the computer and I was doing some research on you and, you know, I ran across a book called Baseball and Mobile.
Yeah, I could never get a book on that. They always kept saying, I'll send you a book. I mean, I probably grant, but it had a picture of me and some sayings. Of course, I was doing my 50th anniversary either a week or before or a week after, and I was always book shooting the ball players in the clubhouse. I mean, they weren't big league, double A.
Yeah.
And I always tell them guys, ain't no money in Mobile, Alabama or Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's in Tampa Bay or Atlanta, you know, somewhere where they get sent down.
Yeah.
And I used to kid along with them a whole bunch, you know.
Yeah. There was some, they had some highlights of the book there, and they had a little blurb about you, and they had a couple pictures of you. One of them was when you were a bat boy.
Yeah.
You know, back in... What, 50-something?
Yeah, around 52, 53, something like that.
Something like that. It looked a lot different back then.
That's what I say. I had a T-shirt made out. I don't know where it's at. My nephew found a picture of me, so I put it on a T-shirt or a coffee cup. I said, did I look like that when I was 12 years old? I said, no, it ain't changed. You got a mustache, something like that. You don't shave every day, but
yeah,
it was a good saying. Like I say, yeah.
So it was nice to see, you know, LaTroy Hawkins stop by and Justin Morneau and Jim Cott and talk to you. You've known those guys for ages.
Yes, I mean, that's why I like to get some of this stuff out. Not that I want to do it for myself, it's for people like you say, Minnesota people who might have been born in 1940s, know the real stories about the twins, how they got started, how they do this, how they do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Instead of hearing it from the people that was born in, like, we'll say year 2000.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How you doing, man?